Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of the 3rd season of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
And I'm Caroline.
And today we're talking about Degrassi Season 3, Episodes 11 and 12, Holiday Parts 1 and 2. 'Twas a week or so before Christmas and up in Toronto, arrogant Craig thought he had things under control. Things were serious with Ashley, for whom he claimed to care, but he was sleeping with Manny, who wore thong underwear. Under the same roof, Joey had similar troubles. A good thing with Sydney, but watch as he fumbles. Along came Joey's hot mess ex, Caitlin. She's Joey's first love. Sydney couldn't win. She ruined a costume, and Sydney was pissed, which somehow led her and Joey to kiss. Manny had enough of playing side chick. Craig went to dump Ash, but the guitar is a great gift. Vintage tee, pink sweater, a bracelet with charms. Could Craig manage to keep both girls in his arms? How could he choose between the rocker and the girl who skates on ice? Here's an idea. He'd ask Caitlin for advice. Through accidental snooping, Ash connects the dots and confronted the complicit Manuela with her thoughts. At the variety show, she gave Craig a slap. Manny was close behind to say she's done with his crap. Desperate to help, Joey said what the hell he told Craig of the time he fucked Tessa Campanelli. They rushed to the airport in hopes they'd catch Caitlin before she'd gone on her lush spa vacation. A Christmas miracle, they made it in time. Caitlin had 3 minutes till the plane would leave her behind. Joey confessed his love, and he had her convinced. They engaged in a very public Christmas kiss. Several hearts were left broken. Is this first love built to last? Happy holiday from Degrassi and Your Mom's Podcast.
All right, that was a doozy. Do you think anybody's still listening?
But I hope so. That was a stimulating reading that I just gave.
It's not that you did a bad reading. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
It was but no, I think this episode is so like one big plot.
Yeah, you'll notice it's in the funny. Show notes I didn't do, or like the script notes.
Yeah, you didn't.
Craig plot, Joey yes. plot.
Yes. And I think it's funny because just last episode, right, we were talking about how we think that it would be nice to have a plot where nothing else is going on or you know, like pay due time to a really heavy, sensitive subject. But instead of that, instead of giving a two-parter to Terry and her very complex, you know.
Right. Let's spend...
Let's just spend a whole, basically an hour with Joey and Caitlin.
I feel like we spend Craig more time with Joey Ashley and Manny and Sydney than we do with Craig and Manny and Ashley.
Craig and Manny and Ashley, we do. They are the A-plot. Yeah.
It's fine.
If we had to say, because like they're just the leading, like that's just more of what's going on. We have more ends to tie up there. Like we know that Craig's going to fumble the ball and that either Manny's going to blow up the shit or he's just going to fumble the ball and Ashley's going to figure, you know, like that's the outcome. We know there it can only really go with his plot. It is the more minor plot, even though it's been building up all season. Well, more than all season. But for Joey's plot, like he's got the thing going on with Caitlin. He's got the thing going on with Sydney. There's a little bit more complexity there versus like because we have to flesh out the situations a little bit more because we don't know what's going on as much right. in Joey's life versus Craig's life. Like we've gone through several episodes of this bullshit between
I noticed
Craig and
too,
Manny and
like,
Ashley.
How hard they're trying to paint Sydney as sucking. Like, it's interesting, right? Because, like,
as a wench,
like, because she's not nothing. Like, she and Joey aren't a good fit. But, like,
no, but I think she actually fits into the family rather well, and I think that she's not, like, super overbearing. I think she has her moments, but I think that she's being herself, which is, like, sometimes really hard to do
right.
in a situation like that. Like, it, you might be inclined to, like, maybe do the thing that is, like, expected or, you know, something else versus, like, just genuinely being yourself. But I can fully say that confidently that Sydney's being herself. She is not editing herself at all. She's putting all her insecurities out there. She is trying to hold the family together. And she is really helping, in my perspective. Like, I don't think that there were many points in the episode where I disagreed with where Sydney was coming from.
Yeah, okay, no. See, here's the thing, is it's not that, like, it's not anything Sydney's doing that makes it not a good fit.
Yeah, no, it's nothing that she's doing.
It's just, it's not a good fit. And, like, it's a shame.
Yeah.
But Joey's not, like, he made me so mad when they're talking about Angie's pageant. And it's been established, mm-hmm. presumably before this scene, that Sydney can't go.
Before this scene.
Like, oh, but yes. Sydney's going to miss you so much. And, like...
And she's like, and we already established that I'm taking her shopping for Boxing Day, which I always forget that is a thing in Canada, which is cute. But, you know, that the concept of Boxing Day is, in general, is, if you don't know, which I barely know, I did not research this, is just apparently after the day after Christmas, they, like, put up all of their decorations and I guess go, there's a bunch of sales to go do to get decorating for the next seasons ahead. I don't know, but they already established she was taking her Boxing Day shopping to make up for it. So it's like, why are you bringing it up again, right, to kind of make her feel bad?
Right.
And he's just a guy who, and, like, my question, one of my notes was, like, how is Joey funding ballet and ice skating, two very expensive elite, like, activities for his child. If she's still doing ballet, she was still doing ballet as of, like, I don't know, when I think at the end of last season when Craig's dad died, she was still doing ballet.
So here are my thoughts on that. Is one, mm-hmm. little kid ballet, I think, is a lot less expensive
than
and a
adult,
lot more prevalent.
Well, teen girl ballet. Yeah.
You know, like,
there's,
I took ballet as a kid because it was offered at my daycare. Like, my parents paid an extra,
okay.
I don't know, it was the 90s, so probably like $30 a month for me to get two ballet lessons a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And then ice skating, you got to remember it's Canada.
It is Canada.
Like, the rink where Spinner sees them hooking up.
Oh my god!
Has at least two rinks, because Craig is there for the pageant, and he is there because Kendra's a synchro skater. We were robbed of an amazing character in Kendra.
I would love to see, like, literally, she is an awesome person, and the fact that he's calling her my sister this whole episode grinds my fucking gears, because, like, Spinner.
We know Kendra.
We know who Kendra. We know who she is. So does Craig.
Right.
So do we. You don't need to say my sister.
You just say Kendra.
And that is, the, in my opinion, guys, because I know that she pops up in this episode towards the end during the fateful Christmas concert or whatever the fuck it is. I don't want
to
call
Chinese
it another pageant.
Dance of the Chinese,
her Chinese New Year Chinese dragon dance. Yeah, but, like, I truly don't think we see her much yet.
She makes it. She doesn't get blackholed till the end of this season. And I think her last episode is actually the finale.
Yeah.
But Kendra's on her way out.
But, like,
and it's a shame.
She's on her way out. And, like, and just in the way he's saying my sister. Like, there's already, like, the framework there, in my opinion, to have her be less of Kendra. To have her not be a character.
Right.
Anymore. And it's like, we're not going to bring her in. For even, we're going to just talk about it. We're not going to write any, we're not going to actually put any effort into giving this actress a scene. we're just gonna, no, we're not gonna, because like it's way more believable to me that Kendra is a synchro skater than that Manny is a good enough skater to have a group of small children that she teaching. Leads.
Yeah.
That she's teaching.
I don't know.
We've never seen this young lady skate before.
An instructor's assistant and whatever for the.
I would believe that she's an instructor's assistant, but like, it doesn't make sense that she's. But we don't have that. You know, we don't have that. The only thing we have is her staying my class. So we've got to assume that it's her class. So like, where? What qualifications do you have to have? And we've literally seen Manny with skates. This episode, this two-parter, that's it.
Well, because it's never she's been laying, important before to know that she's a skater.
Have you ever known a figure skater in real life?
Because it's a real important part of their personality, and we would have heard about it.
Yes. Well, that and dancers and anybody who does anything, I really feel like they tell you about it.
Well, and I mean, I guess it's like, okay, so Manny is a cheerleader. She's a gymnast. She's
yeah,
Canadian.
We'll find out.
We already knew she was a gymnast in, you know, since Wannabe.
Oh, right, because
like, it's not explicitly said.
She does, okay. Right, but she has tumbling experience.
Not related to
this episode
at all, but I was thinking about it the other day when I was listening to an episode. And you mentioned spinners ADD and how that's just not talked about anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it got black holed. I don't think it went away. Like, spinner still behaves like a person with ADHD. Like.
Yeah, I think there's just less emphasis and need for, like, the plot to mention it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Which, I mean, I would love because, no, I mean, as someone who's diagnosed with that, like, ADHD as a kid, like, I just feel like it's good to have that representation not be, like, black-holed. Mm-hmm. But, no, like, I actually don't think, I don't think we've seen Manny's bedroom before now.
They've been.
So we see Manny's bedroom for the first time,
We see Manny's bedroom in Wannabe, because Paige and Hazel come over to her house.
Oh, we do. We do see it in Wannabe. It looks kind of like Emma's, though. That's why I'm like, oh, is it? She can't have them over to Emma's house. But it looks like Emma's room just flipped, just like on the other side of the room. That's probably what it was. But okay, so this is the second time we've seen her room. I'm gonna go back and Wannabe and see if there's skates hanging up pointedly like that, because I have a problem with that, where they just now make it her entire personality for one episode in order to emphasize enough that Craig would. Get her, and like that response to a bracelet with an ice skate.
Yeah,
on
a charm bracelet that's got the same charm four times, and that charm is an ice skate. And like, it's a cute enough bracelet, but like,
it's cute.
Him knowing that you
figure probably gonna turn her wrist green
is not. If he spent $100 on a t-shirt for Ashley and then got Manny a bracelet that'll turn her wrist green,
he ain't shit.
We already know,
but she dropped
shit.
It. We already knew, but she dropped the bracelet at the end, so we have no idea. She dropped the ocean. She might as well have dropped it in the ocean at the end, because we'll never know if that thing is going to turn a wrist green. But I would like to wager a bet. She better not shower in it. She better not get it anywhere near water or perspiration. It'll probably not be good, but.
You can paint it with clear nail polish. That helps.
Oh, Caroline hacks. I did not know that. I had no idea. I want to bring up that a tree trimming party is so fucking adorable.
It is.
And I miss shit like that. And also, I think what my note here was, Sydney being so anal about the Christmas tree's fullness is relatable. And it's also why I don't get real trees anymore. Fake trees for the win. I said when the baby is born... Both of our babies, we're going to get them, like, little tiny trees, little, like, tiny real trees. But, like, I'm sticking with my good old reliable fake-ass tree that I can fluff out and, like, not water. So, that's my part. But, like, I loved her standing in the front of the Christmas tree and, like, with her little mug of eggnog, having them twist the tree around. It was, yeah. I love Sydney so much. I'm
Sydney
so sad.
Better.
She deserved better. She's such you and like what, I though? Think that getting older is realizing that she's not the bitch that the show wanted us to think that she was.
So I like to believe that Sydney gets better because Sydney deserves better than what Joey Jeremiah can give her. And now right. she's free of this.
And she's so hopefully. And she's so earnest. The way she doesn't leave in anger or anything. She puts all her cards on the table and it's so devastating to see her face. Her actress is really awesome.
Really awesome. Well, spoiler alert. In a bit, there's going to be a really important plot about Joey needing to sell his house. And Sydney's going to come in no hard feelings and help him do it because she cares about him and she cares about Angie and Craig. And mm-hmm. she wants them to be okay. So, like, no, Sydney... Yep. Sydney's great, except for shots fired at both of them for that. When Spike did her little toast, and then they, like, linked arms to drink their fucking eggnog.
Yeah.
It was gross and cheesy, and I hated it.
It's, like, it's kind of giving, it's the same energy as when, at weddings, couples, like, smash the cake, they feed each other the cake, and like, my parents didn't do that. They just, like, I actually don't like when people smash the cake in their face, but, like, my parents did the thing where they fed each other a very small slice of cake mm-hmm. with their, with their hands. And I thought it was so intimate, I had to look away. And I was literally 10 years old.
That, like, when it makes you feel weird, but you don't quite understand why.
Right, like it just was. I was like, I shouldn't be watching this, but I'm watching this. But they're doing it, they're doing it, knowing everyone's watching. So I must be able to watch. Like, but I don't want to. Oh, moments like that are so weird for me because they happen in like random moments in life. You know, when you're out somewhere and you see people having a moment, and you accidentally kind of like catch it, mm-hmm. and you're like, damn, I'm gonna look away because like I've intruded upon y'all little moment here. So. That's kind of like it was a similar, like, intimate, cheesy, but, like, and not, like, I want to look away, but, like, you guys are cringe. This is why people don't have tree trimming parties anymore.
Right.
But, can we talk about the fact that, like, and I'm just going to say this off the top in case that anybody, like, one is gonna get, like, confuse my opinion on the subject of Manny in this episode and this arc overall. Manny fucked around and she found out. That's literally what happened. She does not, like, was she wronged? Yes, she was lied to a couple times. Mm-hmm. But did she actively pursue this young man knowing that he was in a relationship? And he never reciprocated any sort of, like, of that, like, oh, I miss you, let's meet up energy until, and I would argue even when he started being like, okay, meet me in the garage and stuff, it wasn't like, I miss you, it was like, I want to smash. The fact that he realized, okay, I can do this without getting caught, and it might not be, like, wrong, he's gung-ho.
Yeah, no, and then, like, when he's like, it's you, it's always been you, like,
it's so fucking bad and sad, and I'm so sad for Ashley. I'm really sad for Ashley in this instance.
Is this? I always was sad for Ashley. Ashley Kerwin slander pal.
Oh no, it's gonna get there. Trust me. No, she has her damn day. She has multiple days, and she's gonna have them. She still has them. But this Melissa does such a good job. I need to find Sydney's actress because I'm caught. You know, I know everybody else is in the main cast damn name, but Melissa, her acting in this scene is so devastating when she's just like, I thought that we, like, you know, like, I thought that we were real. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad that she is, like finding this. And, like, she's better than me. Because the fact that she just smacked him, I would have fucked him up with that guitar.
Well, no, like, that's a beautiful
not
guitar.
To talk about not to talk about domestic violence, but, like, you know, everybody always talks about the part
with
in
Jenna.
Later seasons with Jenna smacking KC with the fucking guitar, and like, domestic violence is obviously not fucking funny. However, when someone cheats on you and breaches your trust like that, I actually think you're probably justified to your one fucking, like, hit. and she took her one hit.
Yeah, it's.
I would have gotten a guitar and smacked him upside the head and walked off stage.
But I don't think that, like, that one hit in an extreme situation makes you an abuser. I think anybody and everybody is capable of, like, hitting their breaking point.
Yeah. I've never been, like, implicitly cheated on by anyone that I, like, truly loved, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I say implicitly,
right, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But, like, it's so traumatic to even, like, talk about it. Like, I know people personally who have been, you know, cheated on, and it's something that they talk about with such, like, a PTSD sort of, recollection. It's extremely traumatic.
It's such a violation of trust, and it makes you feel crazy. It makes you second guess everything. Like, we're not doing Caroline's, like, trauma corner. Okay, thanks.
No, and I mean, it's like, but that's exactly what I definitely can't conceptualize trust being breached in that way. And it's so, even like a high school relationship, like, that we tend to look down on and be like, okay, well, you were just in high school, you can move on. Like, they did have a pretty meaningful relationship. And I don't think that,
right. I mean,
I feel like Ashley never saw anything like that coming. She was like you shouldn't. Like, she has a very secure emotional attachment, because she, even when there were things that maybe someone else would have picked up on earlier, you know, she didn't, because she trusted Craig, and she just wasn't thinking like that.
Right. Well, and they've been together for a while, you know, and
discussing sex, saying I love you, feeling like they're in love, you know,
making music together, like, you know,
right? Like, did they just work in a way that she really, like, that does make sense on paper? Like, they very much, like, have complementing personalities, complementing interests, and it really sucks that, like, it really sucks that Craig is the, like, and I mean, he's had, we have to talk about the Craig thing. We have to talk about the fact that this fucking boy has fucking trauma on trauma on trauma, and attachment issues, and issues with, like, just how to properly love and be loved. Mm-hmm. Because we can argue that, like, people generally learn how to love someone else by how they've been loved before, and then you have to learn how to love that specific person. It's like a case-by-case basis, especially in a relationship. But, like, you're going to pretty much come into that relationship with your past experiences of being loved. No matter the strong, you know, you have strong feelings for this new person, but, like, you're bringing in whatever past relationships and what they set you, like, they set you up for this. So Craig is just really, like, he didn't have a strong, like, his mother died. Like, he does have a secure enough relationship with Joey, but they always occasionally go at it. And I mean, it's secure enough, but it's just not there yet. Like, the two main sources of love in his life have been either not, like, cut off in the prime of, like, when he really needed them.
Right.
Or, well, I mean, abusive.
Two things are true. Like, what Craig is doing is super fucking shitty. And it is not, like, I don't want to say unreasonable, because it is an unreasonable way to behave, but, like, the clear path from his trauma to his actions as a child, mm-hmm. who is not mm-hmm. getting proper therapy, who is a child, and so you've got, like, the addition of newly discovered hormones and poor impulse control and the ego that right. comes with being that age, and, like, there's all of these, like, I see where it comes from. I can only blame him so much. Yes, it would be great mm-hmm. if he could do better. No, what he does is not okay, and yes, he's an asshole yeah. for it. And if you tell me that Craig does not in this moment know how to do better, I believe you.
No, that's kind of what I think it is. And I mean, I never am, like, an apologist for any sort of character, I think that there's always a reason for someone's behavior, but that doesn't excuse someone's behavior. But I truly think that the character of Craig in this moment truly is doing what he knows how to do, the best that he can.
Well, and I think...
And not even the best that he can, but just more the best that he, like... it's hard because I don't think that he, I think that more he just wants to maintain these relationships and he doesn't want to lose either of these relationships because he doesn't, it's kind of like, I think in his brain, he's like, I don't have relationships available to lose.
Well, and like, right. And he wants to feel loved and he's also scared of feeling loved because his dad loved him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like undiagnosed mental illness shit going on, and like I think there's a difference between like being an apologist for like a fully formed adult who has access to resources and what have you, and like being an apologist for a fictional child.
Fictional child,
and again, nothing that Craig does is okay. It's just that most things aren't black and white.
No, and I think that's kind of like looking at it from. Just, I do feel like though Craig is a bummer in this episode. He's not. I don't know if I feel like he's malicious.
I don't think he's malicious.
I think he's maybe sometimes like I think of it like mischievousness. Like he's like a kid seeing what he can get away with, and maybe that's like oversimplifying it. But that's the kind of level of.
I think that's another
deception. I think he's on
another thing to consider is that for so long, like Craig had ridden boundaries and he could not push a boundary without getting hit. You know, if we assume the abuse didn't start until Julia left,
but then
Craig was like 9 then.
Right.
If he's like 14 when we first meet him.
14, yeah, 5, yeah.
Craig was like 9. And that's a long time, then a young age to be not able to like push boundaries and see what you can get away with at an age where that's a thing that you're naturally inclined to do.
Right.
You know, because
especially teens are all about pushing down.
Well, teens and even like 9-year-olds, like for a long time, right, I feel like
pre-teens.
A bunch of development from child to adult is pushing boundaries, and like that's how you learn to interact with the world.
That's how you learn. Yeah, absolutely.
And for at least 5 years, he wasn't able to do that, and the consequences were dire. And so now he's started like dipping his toes into that water and he's not getting beat, which good, he shouldn't be.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that came out as cohesive as I...
No, it did. I think that a lot of it is, like you said, it's a stunted sort of development because we have to admit, and I mean, there are studies. Please research if that is your thing. I didn't research this, but I know it's true that abuse stunts you.
Yeah.
Emotionally. There are people that have had abusive childhoods and have gone on to be adults and actually have to relive or redo their childhood because, like, there just simply wasn't one that was safe available.
Right.
And I think, not to say that cheating is Craig's version of childhood because that's fucked up, but to say that Craig is experiencing a lot of developmental things that he wasn't able to experience in a safe place, and I think that obviously he's a teenage boy, so it manifests in a really shitty way because of his hormones, and for him being able to get away with something is having sex. That's what it boils down to. He's able to have a loving relationship because if Ashley was not fulfilling him emotionally, he wouldn't have any qualms about dropping her like a hot fucking potato,
right,
or a bad habit. But he actually does love her. so
poorly.
The he's fact bad that
and her, but he loves her.
Horribly, but he loves her. Whereas I don't. He does he care for Manny? Sure. I don't think he wants her to see her in any harm, but he doesn't love her, or I don't even think he really even likes her that much.
No.
And the fact that he's just can get some ass with someone who is available and making herself available to him always.
I think, you know, and you think about, like, the things that we see him get from Manny. You know, her waiting in his garage and, like,
being Ashley doesn't
so
do that shit.
Devoted. And, like, the way that she, like, jumps into his arms in the skating rink. And, like, there's
a she thinks she's in a rom-com.
Passion there.
And the calling and being like, it's, and being like, I miss you so much. It's very, she loved
Bond
so much.
What it comes down to is like, nothing that Craig is doing is okay. I don't condone it. I also can only blame him so much.
I think that's kind of where I stand too, is I can only blame him so much. And I do think that it's important to overstate that, like, hurt people, people who have trauma process it in different ways. That's not excusing anything, because I actually personally think most people have something traumatic
that's happened
in their lives.
But trauma's not one size fits all, and we don't all get the same coping mechanisms and resources.
And honestly, he's got more than just his trauma to deal with. He's also got his brain chemistry not cooperating with him.
And he doesn't know to say, hey, I am very broken, like, someone help me. Because he's a kid. And he's a traumatized kid with stuff going wonky with his brain chemistry. And, like,
I mean, when you only have the context of your brain, literally figuring out that, oh, this is something other people have is, like, life-shattering, because you feel like you're the only one who goes through these things. Like, intrusive thoughts, I literally thought I was fucking crazy for a long time until I found out that other people have intrusive thoughts. And, I mean, there are other things. Like, finding out that someone has something that you also have makes it less of a stigma. It breaks the ice, but it also makes you like, okay, I'm not alone in my brain. My brain is not the first brain to feel this. Right. You know, there's other people. And I think that Craig is feeling like he's got a lot of feelings. He's got a lot of isolation with his mental, you know, disorder. He's not making good decisions, to say the least. He's making impulsive decisions. He's trying to get away with things. He's trying to basically, like, have his cake and eat it too, but also he's having unrealistic expectations of what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, what did he think? And I think that that's part of his disease. It's like, what did he think was going to happen? Like, he thought that the only way that Ashley would find out about this is Manny directly speaking to her and telling her. And that just proves how he's got a warped viewpoint of, like, how things could possibly occur.
I mean, I think that's not just, like, the mental health, though. I think that's the age, too.
Yeah, I'm not predicting, like, consequences.
You know, and
yeah,
also
that's definitely
after
the age.
After 5 years of not being able to get away with anything, suddenly, like, you know, Craig's yet to find the limit of, like, what he can get away with. He's like, yeah, okay, he gets in trouble for the kid at work thing. And I think, like, you know, Joey appropriately punishes him there. But compared to your dad beating down your bedroom door with a base or a fucking golf club, you know, that's
still
the
consequences
getting away
are
with
just
it in his mind.
Right.
Because the you know, you do a risk analysis and it's worth it.
I just feel it's not like I feel super bad for him. I just feel like, okay, I didn't expect anything less from Craig. I especially because that gift, like when he goes to break up with Ashley, I don't think that he would have necessarily broken up with her even if she hadn't gotten him the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Because just facing someone and breaking up with them is really hard, but also breaking up with them in their family home is extreme.
Right?
In their family home, at Hanukkah.
You in for Hanukkah.
Telling you to take your boots off and come on in, you know, brother-in-law, future brother. Like, it's definitely heartless to break up with someone, you know, on their birthday, which Ashley has experienced. I should have broken up with you on your birthday like I wanted to. Miss Ashley Kerwin.
I love her. I love her so much. I mean, I don't, but like, it not is
not
right,
iconic. But it's a kind of a fucking iconic ass line for know. Any teen show.
I'm waiting for Ashley like your to birthday. She's a little annoying.
I need, she's gonna and right,
and then her fashion
it's petering out, and she's chilling. She's chilling right now. Don't worry, her bitch is dormant. She's coming back up. Don't worry. But like the fact that it's like your birthday and like Christmas and or Hanukkah, if that's what you celebrate. Sorry, Jewish folk. You know, y'all are kind of just. We always wonder what is Hanukkah. All about Christmas. So sorry.
Well, half
the cast is Jewish too. Half of like not even half, but like a good portion of this OG cast is Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's like you'd think that there would be more Jewish characters, but like it's just it's like Toby's family.
Will ever give us a good Hanukkah episode.
Right, like watch the Hanukkah and the Kwanzaa Rugrats episodes because they're both extremely informative.
Let my babies go.
Oh my gosh, the Passover was actually an epic ass. Like all of those episodes are epic, but like I love the tale of the Passover because I didn't know it.
Yeah,
I didn't know the tale of the Passover until you know. Obviously, I was watching Rugrats and
see the Prince of Egypt,
a kid. I did see The Prince of Egypt. Beautiful, so beautiful animation.
When they walked through the Red Sea.
I remember where I was when I first watched that VHS and it changed my fucking life.
Oh, I saw it in theaters with my best friend, Bess, and my mom, and it was beautiful.
I did not. I saw it on a Friday night and it was just rented from I'm not going to say Blockbuster. I don't know. We had Hollywood Video. It was very popular in my area, so it probably could have been Hollywood Video. Wherever, and we had some snacks. They made a whole movie night of it, and yeah, we got ditched. It was one of those things where like, okay, you guys are old enough to be here by yourself, but like we're gonna set something up for you, then we're leaving. So I was like maybe 11 or 12, but no. So the big thing I wanted to bring up that I don't know if we've brought up is that this is not a big thing, this is just an observation. Is it possible that Craig got her this fluffy ass sweater because she had a thing for like the fluffy fluff collection, because she literally just rubs her face on this sweater?
I think it is a very Manny sweater, even though it's full length, but
she loves a crop, doesn't she?
She does, and that sweater would look cute cropped.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very Manny sweater that she would look really That's cute. Kind of I hope she kept that. We didn't see her give that back to Craig. I hope
it was
she
all she kind of like discarded the shit out of it, like low key. She's like, oh, but then she's like, you know. She wasn't looking further in the bag because she was a little underwhelmed.
I have a fucking wrist chain and bracelet. You so
there was
me.
So cheap. Okay, so I have a couple things in this, if we call it a B plot, in Craig's plot. The fact that there is a wish Quan. In the scene
teaching
where Jimmy
English.
Is, yeah, because he's reading Charles Dickens, I think. Because this is like a Christmas
Christmas
Carol.
Christmas Carol. and a
poorly
British accent.
Spoiler alert, that's on my shots fired, and I'm going to elaborate on that at that time. But, yeah, like, you order Miss Kwan and you on Wish, and this is what
on
you
wish.
Get.
On Wish.Kwan.
Wish.Kwan, because who is this woman?
Yeah.
The fact that she had to, like, Manny had to coordinate it, like, she had to probably coordinate that jump into Craig's arms as to not slice his calves off.
Not slice his calves off, not knock him down, because he's, you know, in shoes on ice.
Right, that's potentially, like, imagine her knocking him down and her feet are behind him. She might, like, slice up the family jewels or the buttocks.
It could have happened. It didn't.
Or the lower back, wherever.
I don't think ice skates are really that sharp.
Ice? Okay, so.
Yeah, I don't want to hear a gruesome story.
It's not gruesome. It was on a show that I recently binged, because I don't know a lot about ice skating, but it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, I find fascinating, so I watch stuff about ice skating. But on this show, Spinning Out on Netflix, there's this scene where the skater is doing a kind of, I think she's doing a jump or something, and it goes through her hand. Like, the skate goes through.
No, thank you.
Or is it her hand or her foot? No. It goes through her foot. It goes through her foot. The back of her skate goes through the top of her other skate.
No.
And it's really,
no,
yeah.
No. Okay,
it's really,
I don't
yeah.
need to know.
That's it. Sorry, you're a visual person.
I am.
You get visual images. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I get like a visual / visceral. Like, I know I have no idea what it actually feels like, but like, you know,
you
that
feel
like
a
you
slash
feel
of
in
pain,
your gut.
Like the pain of, yeah, I hate that feeling. I get that feeling when like I see like someone's cut. I get like a pain in my, mm-hmm. not my chest, but like it's somewhere in my body and it hurts where like I see someone. Like, I understand what you mean. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But no, they are fairly sharp. You actually have to get them sharpened.
I know you have to get them sharpened.
Right, but so they're sharp enough to fuck you up.
Well, luckily she didn't fuck Craig all up.
There's so much logistics in ice skating that I just don't care to know. But like, I do know that it's like, obviously people know gymnastics is like really complicated, and I think people know ballet is pretty complicated, but like ballet is kind of figure skating is kind of both of those, but like light on the gymnastics but like heavy on the fuck no, and it's got a lot of like you could really break your fucking neck, and you could also really like yourself up with them skates.
Yeah,
so
I have to call.
Have it be a casual hobby.
I have to call out that the place where Angie's pageant is, mm-hmm. is like the Victoria something. And Victoria's in fucking British Columbia.
Damn.
Like,
paying attention to details, Kate.
Like, that is like Western Canada.
So, because this was shot in Toronto, what are they doing?
It must be just like a stock exterior shot.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't like the rinks, the exterior of the rinks in Toronto.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird choice, though.
That is a weird choice. I feel like they, once one of those things, again, they didn't think that we'd notice, like, Marco playing the accordion. We never hear about it again.
Nope.
I need...
That's in my shots
I actually
fired.
Really want to hear him... I want to hear him play that song.
Green Sleeves?
Yeah, I want to hear him play Green Sleeves. I want to comment that Ashley should never give a family heirloom to a boy or a girl, whomever you're into, or you know, non-binary folk.
Yeah, no.
No one. Do not give a family heirloom away. Yeah. And I just, and I feel like it's very much, it maybe we're at the mark of time where we would probably shift into categories. This is a two-parter, so, you know, maybe a little bit more. But I actually noticed we don't really care about the A-plot, or the Joey plot, rather. I just think they're trying to make Joey and Caitlin happen, and I really don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. Mean, I wish that Sydney was around. I wish that Sydney was around more. Obviously, she's gone. She comes back, as Caroline stated, but really, like, I'm here for Sydney, and that's really it. Like, Joey's a piece of shit. Him leaning into, he is not that much taller than Caitlin, so him basically ushering himself down to her lips without much ceremony and then making it seem like it was something he was shocked by, it's very much reading he saw an opportunity and he took it, just like Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, like stepfather, like stepson, y'all are both pieces of shit.
Right.
We knew that about Joey. We knew that about Craig. But now you are on even plane. You're both doing the same shit. But I really had to rewind it a couple of times because I was just like, he kissed her.
Yeah.
She didn't kiss him. I mean, she kissed him back. But he kisses her.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, and she's out of line, too. Like, Spike was like...
Oh, she's out of line, yeah.
Spike was like, hey, write a letter and then calm down.
And reflect on it.
And then reflect Caitlin on it is the key.
Read
like,
it later.
Let me type this up and immediately drop it off at Joey's
and immediately
house.
go singing, whistling. What was it? We wish you a Merry Christmas, I think.
Think so.
Or is it... Yeah, like whistling a really upbeat,
a jaunty Christmas
jovial
tune.
Christmas tune. And then with very little thought, apparently, slipping it into the mailbox of the... you were supposed to read it after the holidays.
Right.
You're supposed to decompress and go on your vacation and then read it when you got back.
And
then
how,
see
like,
that you were a little nuts.
I love how he's got to catch her before she goes on her vacation. And she's got to abandon her vacation. Like, she's going to Montreal for, like, 48 hours.
Like, she can get, like, right. Like, she's not going away on a fucking work,
right.
Like, well, what eventually. She's not going away for 6 months to an assignment or something. Like, it's not, like, it's supposed to be this big moment where he intercepts the plane. Like, she's going a couple of provinces away.
Right.
Chill the fuck out. Let this lady go on her spa vacation.
Also, I love how her boss is like, you know, here's these tickets I scored for you and whatever. And like, she would have been more comfortable on a commercial flight.
Mm-hmm. She was literally sitting behind the pilot. I don't like that. That means you're going to feel every little thing. I've been in little time. We took like a chart. I think it was called, not a charter, like one up from a charter, but it was a very small plane. It was, you know, you could see the front and the back standing there. And it was, if you sprinted to the end of it, you probably would crash into the end of the plane. It was not a big plane. And we felt every little thing. We were only in the air for about a half hour. And I was just like, please bring this plane down with no issue, because it was tossing. We were being tossed in the air.
Right.
And those are like those small ass aircrafts, and the pilot has to tell you to turn off your phone. That means you're too close to me. Don't stand so close to me.
Well, and like,
okay?
A flight from Toronto to Montreal is an hour and 15 minutes.
That's like going to down to fucking Florida. If you don't take your ass on the fucking commercial flight that you, and they just wanted to have the big romantic scene,
right,
on the private jetway.
They wouldn't stop the plane for you.
They wouldn't stop the plane. Yeah, she would have just been on it and been out.
I don't know.
Maybe that's why they did that dumb shit.
Conversation 48 hours later when she returned.
They
by
just
then
put
it
the
would
little
be too late.
The passion's gone. Oh no. And Christmas has already happened. So we spent Christmas without you, which we can't do.
I hate this episode.
Christmas just won't do without you. Shut up. I really don't like this episode.
Like, it's,
I actually
it's
really
fine.
Never like the fact that we got a Christmas episode. We got one.
And it's this
one, precisely one Christmas episode. And it's this shit. And is like, this okay, bullshit?
I feel like the Craig Ashley Manny is like important story. Like, it mm-hmm. is development to these characters that we know and a plot line that we've been following for a while.
Right. Even if we don't care about it, it is a payoff of something that's been building for quite some time. I don't really care
Joey and Caitlin, I don't give a... Well, I mean, I don't care about... But it's this, like, this
it's more relevant.
Is a big
yeah.
storyline that are, it is. That goes through several seasons, honestly.
It does, right? They are on again, off again, combinations of the three. Yeah, it's bad. So, it right, like, this is definitely kind of a monumentous sort of thing. But, like, tacking on, making it the thematically, obviously they've got to mirror each other. And I feel like they really want to justify these characters still being here. I'm fine with Joey being a lovely stepfather. I don't need anything else
from him. I don't need anything from Caitlin.
I don't need anything from Caitlin. Especially not being the highest rated television program in the country, which I highly fucking doubt. Not even to be a hater, just...
You don't what think is her that show Caitlin Ryan Unscripted is...
Like, what the fuck is it even about? No, I don't care. No, and I'm sure that people in Canada, the Canadians at large, don't give a fuck. But, yeah, I don't care about most of the things that occur in this episode. I mean, I care about Manny, but, like, I really don't think that she's in the right in this episode. Mm-hmm. And so her saying, like, oh... You know, you didn't think that she'd find out about me, and you didn't think that I'd find out about your lies. And it's like, she thought that she, not to say what the kids say, she thought that she ate with that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't. She really fucking didn't. Like, come on now. Like, you played yourself. You played yourself.
She
hard,
did.
Mama.
She did.
Hard.
And Craig is such a perfect example hard. Of like when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them. Yeah. No. And she, it yeah. This yeah. is what happens when that, then when we don't do that. And Craig is just like, shots fired is going to be fun. But Craig really is just a piece of shit throughout this entire episode. Yeah. Like Joey, you know, Joey has his mm-hmm. Joey peaks at the piece of shit moment at the end of this the first episode of this two-parter, but it just feels like we're made to sit through these Joey Craig plots of two men, you use that term very loosely for Craig, at different points of their lives doing the same dumbass shit.
Yeah.
It's like, Joey might as well have never left high school, because he's doing the same thing he did when he was in high school.
Right, right. No, it's a frustrating episode, and
it's
and way too much time is wasted on characters that we don't fucking care about.
We could have given the two-parter to fucking Terry, and I actually think that the story that we get, like, what happens later on, would have benefited from more time with Terry,
mm-hmm.
from more time, unfortunately, with Rick. And I think that we were robbed of that two-parter in lieu of this. And if that's true, fuck this. Fuck it.
Fuck it. With that note,
fuck it.
Should we talk about segments?
Hey, Pasta fam. We wanted to take a minute to talk to you about some of the various things we have going on and ways you can support the show and engage with us and other fans.
Honestly, we're both honored and flabbergasted that so many of you listen to us for free. But since we already have a few Patreon subscribers, we figured we may have a few more listeners out there who might be interested. Our Patreon can be found at patreon.com/yourmomspodcast. We have 4 tiers offering a variety of awesome bonus content, merch store discounts, automatic double entry in our giveaways and contests, and some other cool perks as well.
You might have already heard, but we're heading to Tennessee in August for the Smoky Mountain Fan Fest. Shane, Pat, and Melissa, or Spinner, Joey, and Ashley, are going to be there along with Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, and a ton of other really exciting non-Degrassi-related guests. We are hyped to have this opportunity to connect with the Degrassi community and hopefully make some killer content along the way. To help us get there, we are currently asking for donations, but we wouldn't dream of asking without giving something in return. So if you donate $10 or more to our PayPal, which can be found at paypal.me/podcast, before May 1st, we will send you a Spinner Mason Harris tour poster. But that's not all. We shipped a few of those bad boys up to Toronto, where they are being signed by friend of the pad, Shane Kipple. Two lucky donors will receive signed Harris tour posters. Every $10 you donate is another entry into the drawing. And as always, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you get double entry. So a $10 donation yields two entries, $20 yields four entries, and so forth and so on. Make sure to send an email to yourmomspodcast@gmail.com with your PayPal name and mailing address so we can get your poster to you.
Speaking of posters, have you been to our merch shop? That can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwell.com. That's a mouthful. It's full of all kinds of merch that I like to think is hilarious that I have poured my heart and soul into. And honestly, as much as we'd love for you to buy it, I at least would be content with you like checking it out and telling us what you love slash how hilarious I am. I'm a millennial. Mm-hmm. I like validation.
That would be beautiful if, you know, feedback. Which brings us to other ways you can engage with us. We can be found on Instagram at YMPadcast and on TikTok at Your Mom's Podcast. We are also on Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast, and we have a group under the same name. The group is not only a great way to interact with us and other fans, but it is also where all of our stuff like giveaways and caption contests happen. You definitely don't want to miss out there. Lastly, we just like to remind you that subscriptions and reviews go a long way in helping us grow.
And validating us.
If you have a few minutes, oh my gosh, does it validate us. Please give us pats on the head. We love them. If you have a few minutes to do so, we greatly appreciate it. Yes. So, sliding on into our segments, we have our music corner first. We're going to figure out a name for this. It's not going to be music corner. We're going to figure it out.
Suggestions are welcome. But
please inform us. Well, not inform us. Inform us of your ideas. There we go. But so we've got Holiday, and it's Holiday by Madonna. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that they literally just picked it for the title once again, because
it is not
Holiday is such an upbeat song,
and it's not about Ashley with Manny or Sydney with Caitlin.
It's not. It's really just about like being on a holiday and celebrate, being just fine. I don't know. Like there, it's really not a very complex song.
Like it's literally
song.
Talking about picking just like a random day to come together as a nation.
To have a day, come on.
Or
come
in every on. Nation, yeah. It's, yeah. Around the world.
Yeah, if we took a holiday, like, took some time to celebrate.
I mean, it's not just one day out of wise, but like simple lyrics.
Right. And it is not like this is basically saying put your troubles down. It's time to celebrate. Let love shine, and we will find a way to come together. That's not the theme or anything that happens in this episode.
Yep.
There are no real happy times. Two pretty strong relationships, I would wager, going into this episode, die a horrible death.
Yeah.
By the episode's end. So it's really not upbeat in the traditional sense. And it's a great song. I actually really do like Madonna. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked about that. I really do like Madonna. I think that she grows a new head, like Cher, every so often. To try more Cher does it than Madonna, but like Madonna did it in her heyday where she was just able to come back with like new styles. But yeah, I do enjoy a Madonna track, especially in the 80s. Madonna's was huge in the 80s.
And 80s Madonna is a good Madonna.
80s Madonna is a good Madonna.
Like, I don't know that Madonna has put out much in the last, like, 20 years that I would say was particularly great.
No. No. I always regard, not to say that my musical library is any sort of authority, but I try to kind of just collect things that make sense to me in terms of, like, the artist. So, I mean, I've got Hung Up from 2005, which I actually do like that song, but only because it was in heavy rotation on MTV at the time.
Yeah, no.
Heavy rotation. It was kind of like exposed. Yes. Like, but like, I would say that's, and that's Celebration in 2005. So, I mean, that was one of her last, like, big albums.
Yeah.
Oh, to my surprise, Madonna has a song out with whoever Playboi Carti is, and The Weeknd. The Weeknd and Madonna have a shared album. I don't know. Wow. Okay. So she's still trying to make music, but she hasn't really made. Oh, she right. 4 minutes. I only got 4 minutes to say the word. Like 2008. Okay. So
yeah.
Grab a boy, grab a girl. That song. Well, yeah. Good job, Madonna.
Good job, Madonna, for writing a song giving that us has this nothing to do absolute... with this episode of Degrassi.
Right?
So, you know, whatever. It's a banger, though.
Right?
It's at least a bop.
It is this.
It's a bop.
It's a bop. I think it's a bop. Yeah. Yep. I think because, like, you know, you want to bop to the end. The holiday. Yeah. It's like, it's giving, it always gave me like summer beach vibes versus like Christmas.
Well, isn't Madonna British and don't they use holiday to mean like vacation?
Madonna wishes she was British. I'm pretty sure she lives there and pretends to have a British accent. She's just an ordinary American. I think that she went to the UK and pretended to have a British accent for a fairly long time.
Oh yeah, no, she was born in Michigan.
I think it's hilarious because her marketing campaign worked to have people think that she was British by talking in a really horrible British accent.
I've just never paid that much attention to Madonna, okay?
To be fair, she kind of looks like she could be British, but yeah, no.
I have one of my friends from when I was like an older teenager / very young adult. There's this guy, Josh, who actually, though he did not watch Degrassi, watched the JT episode with me because another friend of ours was like, we have to watch this. I don't know what's happening, but somebody's going to die. And but anyway, he loved Madonna. Like back in the days of AIM, his screen name was like Madonna's homeboy. And he has, I think at this point, multiple Madonna tattoos. You got a grill because Madonna.
Yeah,
got
that's
a grill.
Dedication.
It's a thing.
She did. Oh, I'm so happy that that era of celebrities getting grills is like over. I hated that grills era. I hated it.
Yeah,
I hate like that. Whatever Flavor Flav did to his mouth, all that shit. What Nelly did to his mouth. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What Lil Wayne got? Like, I'm pretty sure he got permanent, like, chrome teeth.
Why would you do that?
Which is just terrifying to me.
Yeah, I don't like
you're bionic, you're part machine. Yeah, so unfashionable. Unlike, well, no, I don't know. I'm like, we're about to roast some fashion. I think we're good to gas up the car and
head on over to the fashion corner. I only took a picture of like one outfit because it's one of my favorites. And it's Manny in her like patchwork, like fuzzy patchwork jacket.
Yeah, that was on one of mine too.
I love that outfit.
Yeah, I think it is an iconic outfit because you've got to look at her hopping into Craig's arms wearing that sweater. I like that one. I really did also like the outfit that Manny is wearing at the skating rink. I think, in the beginning.
Yeah.
I think the blue is really cute on her. But obviously, I don't know why I love a turtleneck on various folk. But she's got, like, this black turtleneck. Yeah, she's got the black turtleneck. She's got this, like, crossover blue sweater with, like, little white beading. That it looks kind of like a ballet crossover, honestly, but it's really cute. And she walks by Spinner, which he represents another one of my outfits. They're all in the same sort of frame. I more love his little hat, but he's actually got like a cute outfit on for like how they dress these guys. He's got like this, like a windbreaker-esque jacket on with like gray patches, and like a burgundy shirt on with some sort of design. He looks a little bit more like he's dressing like he got a job or something, like he's got more money.
Yeah.
Like Spinner's definitely dressing way trendier. Like he looks like he's coordinated. He's like, I gotta step shit up, I'm dating Paige now. But mostly I really like his green little hat. Everyone seems to just be wearing more, well, the two guys who don't really wear hats, Craig and Spinner, are wearing hats in this episode. I'm not going to say everybody. And I don't like Craig's hat. I'm going to say that now. I fucking hate Craig's hat, but I love Spinner's little green cap. It looks so cute on him.
Yeah.
It's, I think, a nice color. But, and I did want to give an honorable mention to Joey's, like, suit with the white scarf around his neck. It's very much like, it's not even like priest, but it's somehow like pastoral.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it's funny. It's funny that he chose that combination, but then at least like I was talking to the bartender all night, like, I don't know.
Well, also, I want to just take a quick second to, like, that scene is another prime example of why Joey and Sydney are not it, because he's, like, so threatened by her world.
That's fair. No, actually, though, she is just, like, trying to reassure him that it doesn't, you know, like, happen overnight for him to get used to being in that sort of setting, which I appreciate, like, you know. You don't need to, her saying that you don't need to fit into my world right away, like, we just go to these events, like, is very refreshing, because, like, she's not being an asshole about it. She's not like, hey, I noticed that you were just sitting at the bar the whole time, but, like, she didn't have a problem with it. He had a problem with it.
Right.
Definitely a big point of why they don't work.
Yeah.
And I have two more. I have Caitlyn in a positive light. I actually really do like the outfit that she has on when Sydney comes to her office. I love green. It's like a hunter green, maybe a little bit lighter than that, turtleneck. And I love a turtleneck. And she's got a V-neck leather jacket. It's not a regular fucking 2000. She's got a V-neck leather jacket, people. Like, the cut of the shit is V. I don't know if I've seen this in, like, so long, and I wish I hadn't seen it. But, yeah, I actually do like the combination of it, because it's a turtleneck having the V-neck there, and you get to see a little bit more of the turtleneck versus if it was a, just as leather jackets are supposed to be, a high-neck leather jacket.
Yeah. But,
and then I have to call out Manny for this really hideous outfit that she chooses to wear. The shirt in particular, I think the shirt's just really ugly. It's got one large ruffle, like, around the neck, and...
Is it the one she's wearing when she sees a lot of colors. Ashley after he tells her he's gonna break up with Ash?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a horrible outfit. Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it? It's just, like, not a cute... It's not flattering. I think that the jeans like kind of save the outfit and the fact that, like we said, she likes to wear everything cropped. So not even cropped, but just like the fact that her jeans are low rise or whatever, and that little slit of belly helps with the fact that it's like a grandma-esque shirt, and it's just not cute. Even Manny can't make that cute, which is saying something, because she can make most things look cute.
Right.
But yeah, that was, and I have to give out an honorable mention to Snake's toupee.
That was a really sweet moment. That was a very sweet moment.
It was
moment.
Very cute. We didn't even talk about it in the deep dive, but yes, it was very sweet. I really thought that
the grade 10s all pitched in and they wanted to get Snake a real wig, but realized those are very expensive. So they got him like a cheesy Elvis wig.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And you kind of feel like he means it.
I think, right, like his spirits are up a little bit more. Like, it's cool to see. That is one thing about the show, like having characters in the peripheral. And like being able to just not really get, we're not getting a plot from Snake, but we do see that he is in higher spirits than he was a couple of episodes ago. That's all we can really ask for. He's not in the shitter as much anymore. He's still got cancer, but he's dealing with it better. But yeah, very sweet. Shout out to the toupee. It's not his color.
No. But it's a sweet gesture.
But I don't think it's a bad quality wig. I just don't think it's his color. But yes, it's very sweet gesture. Not a
quality wig, though, either.
It's an acceptable quality. Acceptable.
Yeah, no, they...
I'm not, like, a good judge of wig character. So, I mean, thankfully. Haven't had to be. So, but, yeah. So, I guess... So, now we've got a...
Head on over to get to firing some shirts.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yes. And for me, once again, we did not talk about our shots fired off the top. I think that we can agree on some of them, but I'll just, you know, I'll start it off. My first one is Craig when he's on the phone with Manny in the top of the episode. And when Manny is telling him that she misses him a lot. And Ashley's there and comes up to him. He says, Spinner, we'll talk about exchanging gifts tomorrow. Bye.
Right.
Hangs up on her ass.
My first one is a bit further into the episode. It's when Sydney says her whole thing about, like, and I'm going to take her Boxing Day shopping and blah, 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 and walks out. And Craig goes, and who says money can't buy happiness?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have the guitar string as Manny walks by. It was clearly a shot fired at Craig. And right after that, when Craig yeets his guitar, you know, like puts it down roughly and it falls, Ashley says, yeah, and that's going to make it better.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with you?
I have when Spinner catches Craig and Manny. And Craig accuses him of stalking him. And he starts to explain about Kendra. And then instead he's like, wait, why am I doing the explaining?
Right? I have Sydney calling Caitlin Kate.
We hate an unsolicited like, I don't know. Nickname on this show, apparently. Jim. Kate. We take that as a shot it fucking just... fired.
Right, like, it is so fucking smart. Like, don't... Yeah, yep, we hate unsolicited nicknames on this, okay, on this pad. Okay. Okay, so I have Jimmy also going for that Cockney accent, but he was not... It was not landing. It read more like Irish, slightly, but, like, really bad Irish. Just bad.
Yeah, overall. In a similar vein, I have the way that Caitlin sent director... Director.
My last. No. Spinner saying, well, one girlfriend down, one to go.
When they get home from Caitlin babysitting and the costume's all dirty and whatever, and Caitlin's like, don't be mad at her, and Sydney's just like, I'm not mad at her.
Yes.
Like,
I didn't even mention in the deep dive, but I really don't understand why it was a big deal for her to wear the pageant costume when the pageant was over. That's just me.
I don't know, because Sydney, like, still put a lot of work into it.
And I didn't even bring it up that I think that it was a pattern that she must have had, because all of the other costumes are identical. Yeah. So, like, were you given a pattern and you just sewed it up? Or,
but still, like, there's a lot of time. But still. And, you know, maybe she wants to do, like, a photo shoot or something. We don't know.
That's fair. She seems like the type to... Caitlin's saying, listen, elf girl,
yeah,
I'm having a serious discussion here.
And I'm firing shots at Poco Margo.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can't. It's gotta go. I had the whole conversation between Sydney and Caitlin, but obviously they don't need a blast from the past. A klutzy blast from the past.
Right?
You know.
She's bright though.
Like, why does blast from the past sound so, scathing when she says it?
Because there's no substance there. There's like, your life is unfulfilled, so you're sitting here being like, maybe if I had like stuck with this when I was 18, my life would be more fulfilling. Like, it is a blast of the past, but from the past in like all the worst possible ways.
Oof. Sheesh. Fair. Shots fired. And do you have any more? Sorry.
No, you're good to go.
Okay. JT saying, I guess they won't be spending Christmas together. Hee hee. Oh, but like, also hilarious. I love that Ashley smacks him. I shouldn't love violence, but it was so good. And Manny saying, because you were stupid, Craig. Craig saying, now the other girl hates my guts too, so Merry Christmas. No, it's more like him saying, calling Manny the other girl is the shots fired part. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I could call everything said between Sydney and Joey, but particularly like, because I love you, but you don't feel the same.
Yeah.
And it's sad, and I hate that it's the shots fired. She just excuses herself to go weep in the fucking car.
She's gonna be fine.
How is she getting home? Right, she'll be fine. I always wonder the logistics of stupid shit like that in like film and TV. Like, how is this person getting home?
There's a good chance their ride? She drove herself because she came straight from work. It's Sydney.
It's fair.
Also Toronto. You
know, she'll be all right.
They've got good public transportation.
They've got Metro. She's gonna be alright. But yeah, I mean, so now that we're done our shots fired, I guess we can talk about some folks who weren't all right in this episode, these fucking super bummers.
Can we start with Shining Stars just because, like, are there any?
We can, because I, No. Are there?
Nobody shines.
No. Nobody shines. I feel really bad for Ashley, but I don't think that she shines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, she's not gonna be, she's not one of my super bummers, but she doesn't shine.
She doesn't shine. Yeah, I guess, so everybody, I mean,
let's give it to Snake.
Snake for
continuing.
And I mean,
to...
I guess maybe have, can we give it to everybody in the grade 10s? Giving him the 2K?
We cannot to...
Because
we can give it to the collective of that grade 10 class.
The collective, yes.
As a whole.
Minus...
But...
Kind of minus Craig and Ashley, because I didn't see them.
No, you saw
Craig. I didn't see them Was he there?
Yeah. But that's fine. That's fine. I don't think that affects his status as a super bummer. So we will...
No, I don't think it does.
Give it to the grade 10 class as a whole for their thoughtful gift, and to Snake for powering through what he's going through. And then super bummers present everybody who are yours. You know what?
Obviously...
I'm going to give it to Sydney.
Oh, because she...
Because she saw what was going on. She and realized she just, that she was worth better than that.
And she laid her cards on the table and then gracefully walked away.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Sydney.
Oh, I support that because you know what? This lady deserves so much better. And I really hate how much the 2000s taught me to hate women. Particularly women who just were being themselves, and maybe sometimes being yourself is a little bit brash, but that doesn't mean that you're a bitch.
Right.
And like that was Sydney. And I just love her so much now, and I'm going to miss her in the show, even though we got scraps. But so yes, so she definitely was a shining star. Thank you. Beautiful. Love it. Yeah. Everybody else, obviously, you know, Craig sucked. Manny
sucked.
Joey sucked. Caitlin sucked too.
Like,
because like encouraging him to like cheat and like, oh, I can't get away with cheating because I'm not a stud. What kind of fucking logic is that? Right. Like, oh, I don't know. You don't know if this girl's for you, so you need to play the field while you're still with her. That is dumbass logic, and it's wrong.
Well, here's the thing: that logic is fine if everybody is a willing and knowing participant in that kind of relationship.
Right. Under the circumstances,
it's shit advice.
It's shitty. Yeah,
and I wonder if it would have been the same advice if it wasn't Ashley. Because we know Spinner does not care for Ashley.
Spinner doesn't
he
like
doesn't
Ashley.
Hate her,
he doesn't like, even like Ashley with friends. Jimmy. He doesn't like Ashley with Craig. He's like, Ashley I just need Paige. This...
He doesn't
He's like
Ashley.
I just need right I just need this bitch to stop popping up in my life in various permutations like that's right, I really think that's how Spinner feels her,
but
like that's a, I draw the line at like dealing with her on a regular basis and I he's
right
he really he's you're right like Spinner really just doesn't fucking like Ashley and you know it could he probably is
like
just
if Craig
like,
was
just...
dating Manny and cheating on Manny would Spinner be like that's totally cool
giving
I mean
right.
Manny
if, I don't yeah
you know or like if he was dating Emma or like whatever or Ellie or Hazel or is Spinner's advice biased by his hatred of Ashley
I think it's biased by his hatred of Ashley that boy is not very complex so yeah at this
so,
point
yeah.
in time
everyone's a bummer
except for Sydney
and Snake
and the grade 10s and Snake
class.
yeah
does it go there
does it go there
no no I don't think
it
goes
really
there
doesn't. I mean like you do have cheating and that is like a trauma, a like legit trauma.
Easy.
But into that.
And this isn't the first instance of cheating. This is just the reveal of the cheating. To be fair, we don't even have actual, like, not to be like, did sex always makes it go there? I mean, I guess technically, for me, sex does usually make it go there. And we've already had sex this season. We've had sex with this couple. If you could call them a couple, and those are the more go there instances versus this is just the reveal of months of weeks of bullshit. I won't say months, it's probably not been months, weeks of bullshit. So,
right. And the sex is like, you know, you're aware of it because it's already happened. So you presume that they're still having sex, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, we're not aware of it. It's not talked about. It's not a plot point. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. No. This episode doesn't really fucking go there.
No, I
don't like this episode. Like, I don't hate it. I a little bit, I hate it. It's just, like, it's a waste of.
A little bit, I hate it.
I mean, a little bit, I hate it.
I actually pretty much really do hate it. I'm not going to lie to you. I think that it's not a fun episode in terms of, like, the Joey shit, the
right.
Caitlin shit. We both have said, candidly, we don't fucking like them. And I don't really like this, like, what's going on with Craig. It makes a beautiful, awesome character like Manny just insufferable.
Right. Insufferable. And the only bit of Paige that we get... is her like
scraps
being
talking
awful.
About a fast.
Talking about, you know, we have to eat a bunch of sausage for Christmas. I think that we should also fast like you do for Ramadan. Our,
shout out to Hazel for wearing her hijab. She just, we didn't mention that, but she, we got a brief. We could call this a fucking cameo because they really just walk past like talking. But
yeah.
Paige saying all the like we, you know, Ramadan could learn a thing or two from what, you know, all the sausage
Christmas
we're
could
eating.
Learn
and
a thing
because
from
there's
Ramadan. It's kind of gross.
Christmas. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but shout out to Hazel for that being a follow through of like taking on the hijab, not full time, but for an occasion. Was a personal decision she came
well,
to. So we got a very brief
kind of
time with these
Christmas thing.
Yes, there's some kind, and I think they did say in the beginning that the gym was closed all week for Christmas festivities. But like there were before the concert that at the end of the
right.
week. So they must have been having things just to avoid doing actual schoolwork
you know,
in the
if
last
you take
week.
Away all the like shootings and. Everything Degrassi
and
gonorrhea like Degrassi seems like a pretty cool school
enriching school yeah no definitely it's
they
a community school they got a big budget except when they don't
they got Heritage Day
yeah no but I think that yeah we deserve more Paige and I would have loved more Hazel. We got more Hazel last episode and I love spending time with Hazel as
yeah,
we said
it's
always it
nice
is always
to spend
nice
time
to spend time with Hazel
yeah
so
we digress on that note I would just like to say thank you for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, we're going to be watching Emma ruin a good thing while Paige salivates over teacher in This Charming Man, which is a Morrissey song, which I really already don't want to listen to.
This episode of your mom's podcast is brought to you by the Toronto Synchro Skaters, Santa Claus, and support from listeners like you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
And now we would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Octavia Faith.
June Bard.
Margot Mancini
and Brianna Bradshaw,
and a special thanks to our Titty Snake producer Alika Fenderson.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.